Welcome to the podcast, our friend Rebecca Tillett, the head coach at St. Louis. Rebecca, it's always great to see you. Thanks for coming on with us.
It's so great to spend any time with you, Debbie. Thanks for having me.
We love learning about your team, your family, all the things that you got going on. You're at 500 in conference play right now. The league has been really tough. The top part of the league is really challenging, and the middle has continued to get better. And then there you are at 500, and you never can count your teams out because you've won the A-10 tournament before and gone to the NCAA tournament in your first year. So tell us a little bit about your team and how it's going.
This team is pure joy, honestly. There's three vets that are, you know, leading this group in Lex Nelson, Zaya Nugent, Belle Tillett, that all have tremendous experience in college basketball, and all three want to be college coaches, which is unique to have that on a roster. And then four extremely talented freshmen that are getting a lot of minutes as young women in a season. So they're learning fast. Sometimes we do things on the court that we joke that, hey, our opposing A-10 coaches are going to say, oh, Tillett put in a new play. And we're like, nah, that wasn't a new play. We went a tiny bit off script right there. And then have some good, talented players in the sophomore and junior class as well.
When you're preparing for the A-10, now that you've been through the A-10 a couple of years now, there's a variety of styles, but it's all consistently really good coaching, great preparation. How much do you save a tweak or a change or an angle or a cadence with any of the stuff that you're doing on either end of the floor?
You know, I think so much of it is studying the team from past seasons that we've played them. Like, love that I'm in year four, right? Like, I remember year one, we were cramming in the summer in preparation for the season because we're like, brand new league. There's so much we have to learn. So even now, we'll go back and look at historical data of all of our years against these teams and coaches, because as you said, great players in this league, great coaches in this league. We say to our team every year, there's not going to be a team undefeated in our league. And there's not going to be a team that doesn't get a win. Like, that's just not how this league works. So in terms of saving it, you know, I think we'll try anything, right, to win. I think, right, and especially with this group right now, like, we're learning how to close out those games. Any game that we haven't won in the A-10, we're right there, right? We're threatening. Yeah. So learning those lessons. But absolutely love it when you're going against a great coach on the other side and they do something to you that you know is the vulnerability of your team, and then you turn around and hopefully do that to them. Those are fun moments as coaches.
That's the fun part for my job too, is trying to figure out, watching film, tendencies, something I saw that they did on an out of bounds play or after a free throw. Just trying to find something that might change the rhythm or throw a little sneak attack on somebody. When you say that you go back and look at the historical data and the way you've played other teams, you got a file like this thick on every team in the A-10, or what does that look like?
For us, it mostly looks like film. We love film here, and we will, you know, we will study the team or an individual player to the depth of what's available to us in order to find an advantage. I think when it comes especially to our runs in the A-10 tournament, the WNIT run, like, we're studying really, really deep to find an advantage anywhere that we can. So I think film, of course, we've got the written data too, but I think film is just such a great reminder and teaching tool specifically for student athletes.
How do you go about teaching with film? Do you do it on the court with groups, or do you watch it as a whole team, or how are some of the ways you teach with the film?
It's funny, in the recruiting process, we do film sessions and you're watching the recruit to see, like, do they like this? Do they enjoy this? Because if they're going to come to us, they probably really need to enjoy it. We'll see it in multiple levels. I remember even as a young coach studying Coach K, and they would roll the TV card out on the court. So we have some on-court film sessions. We have before practice film sessions, after practice film sessions, depending on the day. And then sessions with your scout or your position coach or the scout coach, or the defensive or offensive side of the ball. So a tremendous amount of film available. And we have a lot of players that watch additional film on their own. This team probably watches more film than any team I've ever coached from, you know, and the amount of people that enjoy watching and learning.
So they must enjoy the game, because that's a lot to take in, and they must enjoy watching other teams. So who's the best scout on your team as in terms of players? Who gives you the best feedback?
Oh, yeah. In terms of preparation for opponents?
Yeah.
It's definitely those three, Lex, Zaya, and Belle. Like, they were watching every summer workout together in of our own team in preparation. They traveled to watch the Fever play, the Wings. They drove together to watch that. So they just have watched so much basketball. They'll send plays in the group chats, either the whole team group chat or a group chat with me about what they want to do. So I think those three are always looking for what can we do.
That's pretty cool. And by the way, I think you were in the building when I was in the building for the Fever, and I did not hear from you. So I'm going to give you a hard time about that because, you know, I just finished my 20th year with the Fever, and it's so fun. It's so exciting in the building. I know your kids had a good time showing up there.
They did.
What do you think about where the A-10 is on a national perspective? You know, there's so much respect for the coaches and the players in the league. And especially, I've been asking a lot of coaches about Maggie Dugan, who has a legitimate shot to be an All-American, one of the top 10 players in the country. I don't think it takes away from what you're doing if you're talking about how good Maggie Dugan is. I think it's a matter of respect, but I think that respect carries forward nationally to elevate the whole league.
Absolutely. I think first on pace for the league, like, you know, when I first entered the league, I know we were talking about getting the A-10 back to multiple bid league. And, you know, obviously there's a long history of success in the A-10. And I think last year our teams went and, you know, did some damage in the tournament and showed both tournaments in the WBIT as well and showed, you know, what our league is capable of doing. I don't think there's a lot of teams that want to match up with an A-10 team in that type of environment. And then I also think, yes, Maggie Dugan, exceptional player. You can tell just as an opposing coach how much work she puts into her craft and what a competitor she is and how she can rise to the moment that's needed for her team. So, you know, absolutely. I'm sure all the other coaches have said, you know, tremendous respect for what she can do. And then we spend a lot of time trying to game plan and find any way to disrupt it.
I'm always looking for players that can always make the defense wrong. It doesn't matter what you throw at her. She has a counter. She's smart. She can score in a variety of ways, but she also can draw so much attention, and she's a willing passer. Those are the players that, to me, are ticket-selling players. So you understand the game. You see somebody play like that. You're right. You know how much work they have to put in to be able to do that. I want to ask you about this week, actually today on the time of the taping, that the NCAA has put in a calendar for the portal. So the calendar is 15 days after the national championship, plus some other caveats to the rule. But basically, the portal will open the day after the national championship game. How do you feel about that rule?
I thought that was an important shift. I think that we should all be focused on where our game is, you know, watching those teams in the Final Four. I think that was the right move in terms of a timing standpoint. I don't mind the shortened window, you know, from the standpoint of everybody's got to decide what they're going to do, right? Players need to decide what they're doing and get their transfer process started and find their next home. And then as a staff, we got to build a roster. And I think we all know at this point in time that roster building is going to be a part of our permanent, you know, process of recruiting. And so the shortened window, I think the student athletes have enough time. And, you know, I'm always on the side of what do they need in order to be successful. But I think the season will have ended for the majority of teams, minus the Elite Eight and Final Four teams, and then in the WBIT teams. And then they'll have enough time to decide, okay, this is what I would like to do in my next opportunity. So I like that it's after the tournament for sure. That was really important. And then I think the shortened window will still serve everybody well.
I agree. I mean, you make a choice, you make and work to make that the best choice. You can't just keep going back and forth. I don't think that's fair to anybody in the process. And certainly not teaching kids anything. I don't know. I just think it's a good move to put some guidelines around it. Did I hear you say Tillett a couple of times on your roster?
I did. Isabel is in her fifth year with us. She redshirted as a freshman. And yeah, she wants to go into coaching.
Wow. How do you feel about that?
I love it. You know, with your kids, you just want them to find their passion. And to watch her over the course of her time, you know, at our previous institution and then here at St. Louis, like she eats, breathes, and sleeps basketball. She's watching it constantly. And she had there's always an opportunity to go to one of your classes and be inspired. She took a class last year with one of our professors here at St. Louis, and he brought in multiple speakers, including athletic directors from other institutions. And she was just fascinated by all of it. And so then you see your you know, we want that for our student athletes. And of course, I want that for my daughter. Find your spark of passion and go out in the world and embrace that.
Just never know who is going to stimulate your kids in a different way. Along the same lines of the similar message, but finds another piece of the message that gets them thinking in another direction or headed in the right direction. I'm so glad that we got a chance to spend some time, Rebecca. I really appreciate and respect everything that you do. I respect your family. I love that your daughter wants to be a coach. I think that's exceptionally cool. Does she want to be a GA? Can we get her a GA job? Like right now. Let's
Any
put it
coaches
out there.
Listening, there's already one that's already talked to her, so we'll see. Let's go.
She can be recruited to be a GA, so it's not that's just like we'll just take you. I mean, you're going to get a good one.
That's right. That's right.
That's great. Well, I know anybody who's a coach's kid always has certain special qualities about them, and everyone knows what those are, about being a good teammate and understanding their role and, you know, sacrificing for the greater good of whatever it is that your cause is or your mission is. And that's your family. You guys have consistently fought the good fight around your son. Give us an update.
Yeah. Jack's doing really well. He actually is taking some classes here at St. Louis University, which at certain times in treatment, we weren't sure that would be possible. So I actually had an interview earlier today and I see him walk in from class and he waves like, hey, mom. And I'm in, he doesn't come in and interrupt. But no, really, really special. He's still receiving treatment every other week in our home, but we've worked his college schedule around it. Thank you for asking. Thank you for caring. And we've got young students coming to our games that are fighting the same fight as Jack. And they come into our locker room, and that's really special as well.
It's a great lesson for your current team to see. You know, I think giving is a skill, and it doesn't have to be your money. Taking is not a skill. Giving is a skill. Learning to use your time and your talents to make the place, make our world just better, make our community better. And that's what you're doing. And we are glad to have you on the podcast, Rebecca. Thank you for being with us.
Well, thank you, Debbie. And that's what you do in every part of life that you touch. So thanks for being an inspiration to so many.
We're on the same side. We're on the same team, all of us. Sometimes we just don't know it, but we are. Rebecca Tillett, the head coach of St. Louis. Thank you for being with us on Nothing But Net.
Thank you, Debbie.